From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, Manila, I bid you good day, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be. Wherever you are, I'm Art Bell, and this is the weekend version of Coast to Coast AM. And when I say coast to coast, I mean literally around the world. It's great to be with you. My honor and privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. It's going to be a wild one where I am, and I'm hoping that Lex or Sean will get the update that I just sent them. But if you check the coasttocoastam.com website, you will see I was able to find a website that tracks typhoons here. We have one headed for us. And, oh, it's a beaut. It's a real beaut, and it's getting bigger all the time. Fortunately for us, it appears to be headed a little more northerly than it was previously, although some of the computer models still have it coming down toward us. Hopefully, it will continue on this northern trek. However, the latest information on Typhoon Cimarron, and you'll actually get to see it. Now, this is the island that I'm on, for those of you not familiar, and there would be many, with the geography here in the Philippines. I am on the island of Luzon. And wait till you see this. The update is not up there yet, but it will be shortly. Cimarron is now about to be packing winds of 295 kilometers per hour. That's fast. And we're not quite sure of the track yet. It depends on which computer model it decides to follow, but it's going to cut right through the central and slightly northern part of Luzon. Baguio is a city that frequently has a lot of mudslides and trouble, and it's going to be passing very close to Baguio. So it's kind of a strange thing here in the Philippines. For some reason, they don't warn people. You know, in the U.S., my God, they're talking about storms way ahead of time. If this kind of storm was headed toward the U.S., it'd be all over the news. Here in the Philippines, no. No, there's no news. Now, I found out about it by getting a warden message from the U.S. Embassy here in Manila, and I began tracking it a few days ago. But here on TV, nothing. Radio, nothing. I mean, this is a super typhoon headed straight at us, and you can clearly see on the map, even though you don't have the latest update as of yet. Let me take a look. Let me refresh the page and see if they've put up the latest update. Let's see. I'm sure they'll have it up quickly, if not now. Let's see. No. Yeah, they just got the latest update up there, and by 8 a.m. Sunday, 8 p.m. Sunday, that would be 8 o'clock tonight, it'll have between 240 and 295 kilometers per hour of winds. And as you can see, it's beginning to take a little more westerly course, which scares the you-know-what out of me. This is a big, big typhoon. And for some reason, they just don't treat you know, you can go talk to people in stores around here, and they don't even know a typhoon's out there. But here this thing is set to strike tomorrow. Nobody knows. They don't do much in the way of warning people here, and I've been asking my wife about that, and she just said, well, they don't do it. But this is one big mama, as you can clearly see. Anyway, I also, oh, by the way, I had this chart, but they were kind enough to put it up on the main website for me, so you can see what we're facing. I took, about 10 minutes ago, I took a shot. It's very eerie here in Manila right now, very eerie indeed. I took a shot out the window toward Makati, and you can see there's this strange haze over everything. It's not really fog, and it's not smog. It's just sort of what happens before a typhoon. You go into this great, quiet, sort of eerie, weird, look out, here it comes kind of weather. And so that's what it looks like out my window right now. We're going to get a big typhoon. Big one. Now, there is more to talk about, although I'm watching this very, very carefully. Listen, coming up Wednesday, I'm going to be doing the annual traditional ghost-to-ghost program. And so, two items to think about here, please. One, if you have a superlatively good ghost story, I would encourage you to email it to me. Now, try and keep it short. The best ones are the short ones. And I'm only going to be able to read so much on the air before we begin taking calls. So if you have a really good ghost story, by all means, commit it to email. Send it to me, artbell@mindspring.com. I'm artbell, A-R-T-B-L-L, at mindspring.com, M-I-N-D-S-P-R-I-N-G. Now, beyond that, if you have a ghost story you would like to tell on the air, we are going to be searching for only the best, only the scariest, only the, I don't know. You know what the good and the bad of ghost stories is. I want nothing but the best. The absolute best. So kind of prep yourself for a little bit. I always encourage people to do that. And that means sometimes making a little outline of what you're going to say on paper so that when you get on the air, if you suddenly have an attack of nerves, you can look down and kind of reference what it was you were going to say. It can happen. You can kind of lock up when you realize you're on the air. All right. All that said, that's coming up Wednesday. I'll remind you again tomorrow about that. There is one more thing, and that is tonight, during this program, we will once again, well, let me qualify that. You will once again be required to turn your clocks back an hour. Now, traditionally, I have ranted about this, and I'll do a very small rant. It's an insane, insane thing, in my opinion. To have to twice a year either turn back or go forward 1 hour. It's just insane. Why we do it, I have no idea whatsoever. Now, I'm going to cut my rant short this year for the following reason. I now live in a country that sanely does not change their clocks. Now, the only impact this will have on me is it instead of beginning my show at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I will now be able to get another hour of sleep and begin my show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's fine by me. Fine by me. But for everybody across the contiguous 48 states, it's a pain in the butt. There are a few states, namely Arizona and a few others, that sanely don't do this crazy thing. But for the rest of you, a reminder, you're going to have to turn your clocks back at or before 2 a.m. For a lot of you, that means beginning right now. At home, I had about 30 to 50 clocks. Just insane number of clocks. And I would have to begin in the early evening, and by showtime, I would have them all pretty well turned back, except the one that I was going to use for air. So there you have it. I'll tell you what. Let's take a... Anyway, here I am in the Philippines where they don't touch the clocks ever. So my rant is cut short. But for those of you in the States that still have to change your clocks, every year I say this and it bounces off, does no good, but call your congressman. Email your congressman, your senator. Tell them to stop the insanity now. I would like to see it end in our lifetimes. I really would. All right, we're going to take a very quick break, and then we will look at the abysmal world news. It really is eerie out there, just ahead of this big typhoon. It's really eerie, and if you take a look at my webcam photo, you'll see what I mean. It's strange out there. Listen, coming up next hour, normally we would have Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth from the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS, but Brendan is down with a serious case of the flu. We will, nevertheless, continue with the program, Barbara Macbeth being here all by herself. And this involves electronic voice phenomena. This, I'll tell you more about it next hour, but it literally is the voices. We think the voices of the dead. Certainly, there's no accounting for what you're going to hear tonight. There really isn't. It's one of the things that convinces me, more than anything else, of life after death. After a hastily arranged video conference with President Bush, Iraq's prime minister said Saturday that the U.S. president promised to move swiftly to turn over full control of the Iraqi army to the Baghdad government. What's happening here is that they are sort of using the U.S. elections and the president's weakened position because of them to try and pressure him to turn over control of the armed forces a little early, and it's probably working. The mother of one of the four firefighters who died during a wildfire that authorities blamed on arsonists urged those who set it to turn themselves in Saturday, saying, quote, "I firmly believe you didn't believe that things were going to turn out the way they did, but they did," said Bonnie McKay, whose son, Jason, 27, died Thursday. "Don't let the remorse eat you alive," she said. "Come forward. I, for one, will try to not judge you. There is only one who can judge you." 28 years after his first campaign, President George W. Bush is waging his last. And if the polls are anywhere near correct, the president could wind up experiencing the sting of defeat for the first time since the 1978 race. Most of the winning campaigns in between have been close, and the president's victories have hinged in part on his flair for retail politicking that allows him to make personal connections with voters. It may not be enough this time. Let's see. Fidel Castro up and on TV in Cuba, now 80 years old, but strolling around saying, "See, I'm not dead." The Mexican president, Vicente Fox, has ordered federal police down south in his country, where they've had a lot of trouble for a long time. But after the killing of a U.S. journalist and at least two Mexicans, apparently his patience with this flare-up has ended, and he's got the military down there. Nearly 40% of the scientists conducting hands-on research at the National Institutes of Health say they're looking for other jobs, or considering doing so to escape new ethics rules that apparently are curtailing their opportunity to earn outside income. Most of the scientists say the ethics crackdown is just simply too severe, and nearly three-quarters of them think that it will hinder the government's ability to attract and keep medical researchers. Probably will. Brad Pitt is upset. His staff is claiming that a television producer and cameraman trespassed at his Hollywood Hills home after the actor and his family weren't home. The pair from E! Networks parked out a van allegedly outside their home October 20th, ignored a no trespassing sign, and walked onto the property, where some construction workers apparently saw them and reported the whole thing. This is kind of an interesting story. Let's see, I have time for it. Pig-grabbing space aliens are the talk of Tappan, North Dakota, and beyond. But Tori Breezy, whose family counts three close encounters with the inexplicable, doesn't worry very much about what other people think. Some people probably aren't going to believe it. "I'm not even going to try to convince anybody. We know what happened," said Breezy, a member of the Tappan School Board, whose family operates a ranch outside of town. Breezy and his wife, Myra, spoke Thursday of three strange occurrences experienced by family members in the past year, two of them reported by their son, Evan, 16. According to Myra Breezy, the latest incident went something like this. Her son awoke early on the morning of September 12, got up to get a glass of water. Looking out a window, the boy saw something moving in the corral that is home to several large hogs that are basically family pets, thinking it probably was a coyote. He grabbed a gun and walked into the corral. There, he encountered two creatures standing 8 to 9 feet tall that were doing something to one of the hogs. The boy fired his .22 caliber rifle at one creature and was pretty sure he hit it, judging by the unearthly scream it emitted. Another creature then grabbed the boy and threw him to the ground, causing him to black out. When he awoke, he found that Ruthie, a 400 pounds All right. I think we're back on live, everybody. And sorry about that. Who knows? It may be this approaching typhoon. I have no idea, the way lines are routed here. But what happened was, so that you know, the ISDN line here, which we use for communication. Okay. I think we're back yet again. I think we're having perhaps a little cockpit problem. At any rate, we're back, and we're about to take a break, so I'm going to have to hold on to the end of this story until after the break for the information back for the board ops there. We are about to go into a break. This is quite a story, this story from a farm in North Dakota. This is where, it's odd that these things always seem to occur out sort of in the middle of nowhere. Once again, it's a weird night. We've got a big storm on the way. Go to coasttocoastam.com. Take a look. It's really a monster. I'm Art Bell. Well, I hope I'm here, and I think I am. We had a, again, for those of you who missed it, we had an ISDN disconnect. It could have been, it could be the storm. We have the mother of all storms headed toward Luzon, and you can see a picture of it on the website if you want to. Ooh. Doesn't look good at all, and some of the models have it swinging south, which would be a very disagreeable situation for us. I hope it stays up north. Anyway, I was telling you the story about North Dakota. Let me sort of finish up on that. The young fellow shot this thing, which absolutely screamed this unearthly scream. Later, he was hypnotized. Five entities had been in that corral. He relayed this all under hypnosis. Two were in the process of dragging what appeared to be a dead hog when the boy interrupted them. It's simply unexplainable, Myra Breese said. This still bothers Evan to the day. She said, adding her son feels guilty for not being able to save his younger sister's hog. As for the other incidents, one was in April when Evan and his cattle dog Buster were checking on cows during calving season, his parents said. Investigating a flashing glow, the pair walked over a hill, saw an object resting on the ground that appeared to be scanning a water hole with an intense beam of light. At first, the boy and dog could do nothing but stare. The spell was broken when Buster ran barking at the craft, which then took off into the night, causing what amounted to a sonic boom. That woke Myra up. Tori Breese said of the sound, adding that he too witnessed something unusual this past summer. It happened one night in July when he was giving a neighbor a ride into town. A lot going on here. Breese said he and the neighbor noticed a bluish light in the sky, which stopped when they stopped, moved when they began driving. We spent about a half hour watching it, Breese said, adding, at one point the object flew so fast it went several miles in just seconds. Based on the description of the object that his son saw in April, Breese links the two events, adding that he never had been given to flights of fancy. Evan and I are very skeptical, Tori Breese said. We used to watch the UFO files on TV and laugh out loud. Breese said he wouldn't be surprised if people feel the same way about this story, but said that the family doesn't need to prove anything, and they've moved on. We're not looking for aliens, he said. Rice Barnick, the mayor of Tappan, located off Interstate 94 between Bismarck and Jamestown, said visits by UFOs are the talk of the town, though he himself is not quite on board with it all. Not saying it can't happen, but I'd have to see it to believe it. At the time of the April incident, the Breeses were put in touch with Richard Moss, a UFO investigator who just happened to be in Tappan for a funeral. And he said that his inclination is to definitely believe the story. So, also, by the way, one of the animals found, a sheep, had a single testicle removed with surgical precision. Surgical precision. This was done by a forum reporter, Stephen Wagney, and I thought that it was a very unusual story and one that deserved airtime. Maybe we can find out more about it. Perhaps we can interview one of the individuals involved. But without question, this is one of the strangest stories I've seen in a long time. More in a moment. We're about to go to open lines, so if you'd like to get on the air and you've got something relevant, interesting for the audience, now would be a time to dial. Rita in Houston, Texas said, "Hey, Art, what happened to the 400-pound pig? Your line went out right at the punchline. The 400-pound pig just flat disappeared, never did come back." So this was one weird story out of North Dakota, and if any of the participants would like, you know, it just happened a month or so ago, and if any of the participants would like to be interviewed, I'd love to interview them. Now, in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Barbara McBeth from the GIS, Ghost Investigators Society. And I'm telling you right now that of all the things that I cover on this radio program, the GIS and these incredible voices that are coming from either another dimension, well, I think it is another dimension. That's the closest I can come to whatever the reality of this electronic voice phenomena may be. I have no idea what it really is, but these are voices from the other side of something. Whether it's actually the voices of the dead or not, I don't know. But I am convinced, I really am convinced, that whatever this phenomena is, it's real. It is absolutely real. So what you're going to hear tonight will kind of shake you up. It will scare you. It scares me every time we do it, and that's why I've had the GIS back again and again and again, because this really is scary stuff. Of course, we're close to Halloween, so it's a good time for it. At any rate, top of the hour, GIS, voices from the other side. Maybe I should just call it that. Instead of voices from the dead, we'll call it voices from the other side of something. This is such a fascinating world we live in, isn't it? Let's go west of the Rockies and say hello, Steve. You're on the air.
Art, it's about approaching 3 o'clock in the afternoon there, I think, on Sunday.
It's approaching 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
2 o'clock, okay. They told me 16 hours when I checked. Firstly, I wanted to ask you about the approaching typhoon. You quoted the kilometers per hour.
295, if you look.
That's about 174 point some miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big one. After that last one you had where you felt, you were feeling the window.
Yes.
And the window was caving inward.
Yes.
Yes. Do you have a shelter in the basement there?
We have a parking garage.
Have you? Okay. Well, have you considered that versus...
First of all, this thing is going north right now, and I hope it keeps going north, sir.
Okay.
But it's obviously going to hit Luzon, and you can actually see a little bit of the Philippine geography if you look at that map.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there you have it. At any rate, I am on Luzon. I'm a little bit further to the south than what the storm track is. But one thing I don't have up there are the various computer models that show exactly where it's going. Now, some of the computer models are showing it swinging to the south. Those worry me. I think it's going to keep going north. Cross fingers. First-time caller line, you are on the air. Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Martin, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Art Bell. Yeah, I've heard you for like 10 years now. Almost.
So yes, turn your radio off for us, Martin.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. EVP, is that correct?
Electronic voice phenomena, it's called. Yes.
Yes. I was wondering, now, do you have, like, a clip of the scariest one you've ever heard that just sends chills down your back?
Oh, God. There have been so many of those, Martin. Over the several years that I've interviewed these folks, there really have been... many that just scared the you-know-what out of me.
Oh, yeah. But do you have, like, any, like, you know, clips that, you know, top ones?
Top ones.
Yeah, like your...
We'll give you a website. You can go and listen yourself to what you call the top ones on our website, if you wish. What we try to present on each new program are the latest ones. Some of them are chilling. Some of them not. What we're trying to do is give you an example of everything that comes through so you can kind of begin to draw your own conclusions about the nature of the other side.
Oh, the other side, yes. All righty. Thank you, Art. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, and have a good night. So again, those of you who would wish to get on the air, we gave you the numbers. Feel free to dial us up and join us. Let's go east of the Rockies this time to Lucas, I think, in St. Louis. Hello, Lucas.
Hi, Artie.
Hi.
This is Lucas. Can you hear me?
I hear you just fine.
Oh, good, because there's been some technical problems with that typhoon.
Yes.
I was wondering what floor you all live on.
The 19th floor, Lucas.
Goodness gracious. Do you
so,
all...
in other words, I'm about 200 feet, almost 200 feet in the air.
Wow. Do you all board up the windows like we do?
No. No, we don't board up windows. These are, because this is a, typhoon-prone area, these are special windows up at this altitude, of course. Even as special as they are, during the last typhoon, as I mentioned, I think, and you may have heard, they flexed inward. You could actually put your hand on the window, which was a dumb thing to do. And like in a horror movie, you could feel it pushing inward.
I wonder why they don't board up windows like they do when the hurricanes are coming.
Well, for one thing, they'd have hundreds of windows to board up just in this single building I'm in alone.
You used to have that cat you talked about. Did you bring that with you to the Philippines?
I know. I brought two of them. I brought Abydos and Yeti are both here, and they don't much like typhoons.
Yeah, I can imagine they're probably scared right now.
Yes.
And one last question. Did you keep your American passport, or are you a Filipino now?
No. Of course I kept my American passport.
Well, you have to get a visa, don't you, each 6 months or so?
Okay, let me explain that to you. No, I do not. Normally, the answer to that would be yes. But what I did in anticipation of coming to the Philippines, knowing that I was married and I was going to be here for some time, is I joined an organization here known as the PRA. And I think that's the Philippine Retirement Authority. And so instead of having a visa, it gives you a visa, a permanent visa. So it's kind of like I'm an American-P. So I remain an American, but -P for Filipino. And I guess it would be the equivalent of a green card for those who are residents in America. I think what I have would be equivalent to a green card. One of these days, I'll scan it and put it up on the net so you all can see it. But it virtually allows me to remain forever, if I wish, in the Philippines. It allows me multiple entrance and exits as though I were a citizen, even though, of course, I am not. No, of course, I remain an American citizen. Let's go, to the wild card line and say, Sean in New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Art. I wonder if you've heard anything or know any more about the satellite that NASA sent up, the STEREO satellite, to study. That's a dual satellite to study the magnetic and particular effects of the sun when it has the coronal outbursts or whatever.
No, I wasn't even familiar with that. When was it sent up?
Last week, about. A week ago, 10 days ago, something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So it wouldn't even really be operational yet.
Well, I'm not quite certain. They're not sending it that far out into space. It's only some 10 million miles from the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a dual satellite system wherein they're going to study coronal outbursts, or whatever the correct word is, I'm not sure, with two satellites simultaneously and get a stereoscopic view of magnetic flux and etc.
Well, that's very, very interesting. I was aware of the satellite they had out about 10 million miles that watches the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently this is going to be a mate for that, and I can understand the advantage of a stereoscopic view of coronal ejections when they occur and the magnetic anomalies on the sun. I'm sure it'll tell us a lot. That's a very good idea. I'll do a little research on it and find out.
Thank you very much, Art.
All right, you're very welcome, and take care. Let's go, where should we go? Let's go to east of the Rockies, and Karen, you're on the air in Houston.
Hey there, Art. How are you doing?
Just fine.
All righty. I know that in some of my reading in the Edgar Cayce material, he had stated way back when that in the future there would be equipment that would be built and developed that would provide us with a back-and-forth conversation with the other side. So a lot of what he says is still coming true.
And there, I've been trying to encourage people. A number of years ago, hon, there were experiments done allowing live discussions with the other side. It actually has already happened a number of years ago, and I've been trying to encourage. The plans for the electronics that did this are actually up on the net, and so I'm hoping somebody will pick up on it and continue that line of experimentation, because I would think live talks with anything on the other side would just be incredibly interesting. Are you still there?
Uh-huh. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. One other thing that he said, too, was that on the other side, there is less free will than what we have here. So we are in a special position, so to speak, for whatever reason we're here, growth or whatever. So I would, that would be one of my main questions, I think. One of the first things I would ask in a back and forth discussion is, tell us about the free will situation over there, you know?
That's fascinating. I would like to know myself, Karen. So hopefully somebody will pick up on the whole concept and continue with it. My gosh, I'd like to know. So very, very interesting from Karen. It's kind of a strange night. We are experiencing some pretty strange weather over here. At the moment, if you look at my webcam photograph, you'll see that we have kind of a haze slash cloud slash fog, kind of a very still, weird atmosphere in Manila right now, and it's all ahead of this coming typhoon, and that, you know, the calm, the proverbial calm before the storm. On the first time caller line, you are on the air. Hello.
Yes, is this Art?
It is indeed.
This is Ty from the state of Tennessee.
Hi, Ty.
Hello. I've been supporting Coast to Coast, and I love you guys, for 16 years, and I'm glad to do it. But I have noticed recently a very disturbing trend in the direction of the show that Mr. Norrie is taking some weekdays, and it seems to be in a very Limbaugh-type direction of the direction of Jesus and political matters. And to me, that's just not the spirit of Coast to Coast.
Did you say in the direction of Jesus and political matters?
Yes, sir. And that's really disturbing to me. And I don't have anything against Jesus. He was a really nice guy.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, who else is going to have a supper for 13 people, and he only had an egg, and he paid for all that food? That's a nice guy.
That's a nice guy. Well, listen, it is up to George, the direction into which he takes the show during the week, and Coast to Coast has never, you know, this is worth, I guess, a moment or two of conversation, but Coast to Coast has never been, and nor would I want it to be, a static entity. In other words, it's constantly changing and constantly evolving. And if you don't do that with the program, if you don't constantly change it and constantly evolve it, you're probably going to have people losing interest. Now, inevitably, anytime a show takes any kind of a change, people hate change. They simply hate change. And so they react negatively because you build an audience for a certain genre, and then they react negatively when there's a change. But you build an audience for whatever it is that you're doing, or you don't. You know, you take your chances. Many years ago, when I began Coast to Coast AM, it was a very typical talk show. It was politically oriented. It was, well, it was kind of like every other talk show you hear on the air. And what happened was I simply got bored with it. I was doing it six nights a week, five and or at times 6 hours a night. Now, that's a lot of time, folks. And when you find yourself doing politics again, night after night after night after night, it finally hit me that I was bored. And so I began to slip toward the paranormal with the program. Now, at that time, the producers and the managers and owners of the program freaked out totally. I mean, they just went absolutely berserk, giving you a little history of Coast here. And I nevertheless went in the direction that I wanted to go. And it became, as you can see clearly now, a huge success. George now has the weekday program, and he is going to take it in the direction that he wants to take it. That is what he should do. And so I would hope that there would be nobody that would restrain George from doing what he wants to do. The only way you're ever going to be a success in life is to do what you want to do. And anything else is going to be just sort of a cheap imitation of something else, and that's not what you want. So I would hope whatever, I'm not very familiar with what's being done during the week, but I'm here to tell you right now that George should follow his instincts. And the only way he's ever going to be successful is to do exactly that, follow his instincts. That's what I did. That's how we got where we are. From typhoon-threatened Manila, I'm Art Bell with EVPs coming up next.